This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. And for those of you emailing in already, I've already told you I don't do mass shooting radio. I am aware of the information that is out there about the shooter as well. I'm aware of it being a woman who's using he, him pronouns, reportedly went to the school. I know everything. I don't do mass shooting radio, nor am I surprised by anything I see out there today. I don't think that they care about dead kids. Everything, whether it's a school shooting or an earthquake or a war or anything, everything is simply an opportunity in their eyes. We've had this discussion before. I think what these people do is ghoulish in the wake of a shooting, but the truth is this. You can accept this or you cannot accept it. Democrats in the United States of America, their political leaders, in the wake of anything, any horrible tragedy, honestly, it can be a tornado, they do the same thing. In the wake of a school shooting, they get together and they're excited. They're happy. It's not just that they're not sad, they're happy. They recognize it as an opportunity. You're still a human being. You're not an anti-human communist, so you don't. But they do. They get together and immediately they see opportunity.
In his State of the Union, the president called on Congress to do something to stop the epidemic of gun violence.
You would never dream of that because you're a human being. Enough. It's Medal of Honor Monday time. Remember, you can email not just your love, your hate, and your death threats to Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. You can email Medal of Honor citation recommendations if you have one you love, if you have one you have a personal connection to, whatever the case may be. Remember this, every Monday at this time, we read a Medal of Honor citation. They're all available for you to read too online. They're all free. You can do this with your little league team you coach, your Sunday school, your school. Just take a citation and read it. Let the kids of the next generation learn that there are heroes out there. Jesse, I want to ask your consideration in presenting the heroism, leadership, and sacrifice of then Lieutenant Colonel Charles Calvin Johnson. He retired as a major general and was part of my life in one of my top five life events. He pinned on my Ranger tab before my senior year in college in ROTC in 1977. Gosh, that's sick. Semper Fi and keep menu whispering. So, without further ado, listen to this stud.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity in action at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, Lieutenant Colonel Rogers, Field Artillery, distinguished himself in action while serving as commanding officer, 1st Battalion, during the defense of a forward fire support base. In the early morning hours, the fire support base was subjected to a concentrated bombardment of heavy mortar, rocket, and rocket-propelled grenade fire. Simultaneously, the position was struck by a human wave ground assault led by sappers who breached the defensive barriers with Bangalore torpedoes and penetrated the defensive perimeter. Lieutenant Colonel Rogers, with complete disregard for his safety, moved through the hail of fragments from bursting enemy rounds to the embattled area. He aggressively rallied the dazed artillery crewmen to man their howitzers, and he directed their fire on the assaulting enemy. Although knocked to the ground and wounded by an exploding round, Lieutenant Colonel Rogers sprang to his feet and led a small counterattack force against an enemy element that had penetrated the howitzer position. Although painfully wounded a second time during the assault, Lieutenant Colonel Rogers pressed the attack, killing several of the enemy and driving the remainder from their positions. Refusing medical treatment, Lieutenant Colonel Rogers reestablished and reinforced the defensive positions. As a second human wave attack was launched against the sector of the perimeter, Lieutenant Colonel Rogers directed artillery fire on the assaulting enemy and led a second counterattack against the charging forces. His valorous example rallied the beleaguered defenders to repulse and defeat the enemy onslaught. Lieutenant Colonel Rogers moved from position to position through the heavy enemy fire, giving encouragement and direction to his men. At dawn, the determined enemy launched a third assault against the firebase in an attempt to overrun the position. Lieutenant Colonel Rogers moved to the threatened area and directed lethal fire on the enemy forces. Seeing a howitzer inoperative due to casualties, Lieutenant Colonel Rogers joined the surviving members of the crew to return the howitzer to action. While directing the position defense, Lieutenant Colonel Rogers was seriously wounded by fragments from a heavy mortar round, which exploded on the parapet of the gun position. Although too severely wounded to physically lead the defenders, Lieutenant Colonel Rogers continued to give encouragement and direction to his men and the defeating and repelling of the enemy attack. Lieutenant Colonel Rogers' dauntless courage and heroism inspired the defenders of the fire support base to the heights of valor to defeat a determined and numerically superior enemy force. His relentless spirit of aggressiveness in action are in the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit upon himself, his unit, and the U.S. Army. That gone. Not too shabby, wouldn't you say? Not too shabby. Now, let's get back to this whole thing. Don't worry, we got other things coming, but let's get back to this whole poll. It's one of the darker things I've ever read, but it's where we are. We've already unpacked a whole bunch of it. Let's do this part really quickly first. This is a quote from the article. For me, patriotism has turned into right-wing nationalism. That's according to Janet Boyer, a former Pentecostal minister in Cumberland Township, Pennsylvania. Patriotism has turned into nationalism. Well, where's all this coming from? This is all coming from a poll that came out from the Wall Street Journal showing what's going to end the nation. Here are the numbers. Today, 38% of Americans say patriotism is very important to them. In 1998, that number was 70. Today, 39% of Americans place importance on religion. That number was 62% back in 1998. Today, raising children, it's important to 30% of the people in the new poll. Back in 1998, it was important to 59% of them. Okay, so let's dig into it. What's happening? And why is it happening? Well, what's happening is we are a late stage republic in the early phases of breaking up. No, we're not going to break up tomorrow. I'm not being ridiculous. 100 years from now, this country will not look like what it looks like now. A nation cannot survive this. At various aspects of this. Let's deal with the patriotism problem right off the bat, because you can probably boil everything down to simply this. It is important for a high enough percentage of any society to love the society. Patriotism is not stupid or hokey or cliche or something you roll your eyes at. If we lived in our 100-person village we talk about all the time, there's just 100 of us. We have our huts and we have our cattle and we got our farm, we got our doctor and we have all these things. But every day, 100 of us wake up in the village of Jesse. And in this village of Jesse, that's obviously led by a world famous author where you can purchase his book at jessekellybook.com, Chris. Anyway, in the village of Jesse, if every day when we wake up, 90 people in the village, 90 of the 100, they love the village. They're appreciative of it. They love living there. They want the same village for their children. Well, that will affect the little things those 90 people do every day, all day. Let's forget about the village. Let's use a spouse, for example. A spouse. Maybe you've been through some divorces and been through this, but maybe you hate your spouse. If you hate your spouse, for whatever reason, Maybe she started wearing flats. Quit, Chris. We can make jokes. If you hate your spouse, 10 years from now, you'll be in a disastrous situation. But why? Well, because every little decision you make for the next 10 years, it will be made out of spite for them, or at least without them in mind, or out of just selfishness on your, whatever word you want to put on it. You're not going to make it if you hate her. If you hate him, you're simply not going to make it, because the little decisions you make throughout the day will eventually break it up. I kind of ran out of time here. Let me finish this thought in just a second. Hang on.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and super excited to be here on a Monday. Remember, you can download a podcast of this show if you miss any part of it live on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. Also, remember, I'm well aware that the music is no longer in the podcast. It's not my fault. It's not even Jewish producer Chris's fault. We're working on a solution. All right, okay, I understand. We're working on a solution. These decisions were made above us, and we're working on a solution. Back to what we were talking about here, the patriotism part of it, because we're discussing this new Wall Street Journal poll showing patriotism. We'll get into the other parts. In just 25 years, it's gone from 70% to 38%. Well, why does that even matter? Well, I brought up the spouse portion of it. If you hate your spouse, you live with them, but you hate them for whatever reason, you will make decisions throughout the day, every day, that make that worse, that make your home worse, that make the environment worse. But if you love them, it'll have the exact opposite effect. You'll find yourself doing things out of love for them that will 10 years from now make your home a happier home than the one you have now. The same thing applies to your nation. Now, it's on a much bigger and broader scale, so it's harder to imagine. That's why I try to boil it down to a 100-person village. I think it makes it easier for me to understand. Hopefully, makes it easier for you to understand. If 90 people in our 100-person village, they wake up every day and they're blessed to be there, you know what happens? When they go down to where we keep the water and they see the water's a little low, you think, oh, dang, water's a little low. And without being told, you run and grab some buckets and snatch up a couple volunteers to run down to the river and get more water so you can make sure the village has water. You love your village. When you walk by the cattle pasture and you see one of the fence posts is broken and now the cows might get out if they discover it, you don't roll by. You don't ignore it. You certainly don't make it worse. Oh, shoot, stop. We can't have our cattle getting out. Man, I love this place. So you stop and you repair the fence and it's better. When you love your village, you also, this is another part of it, you will demand better from the leadership of your village. What do you mean our village elder, or one of our village elders was caught stealing some money from the treasury? Well, hang him from a tree and leave him there for a week. I love my village. You can't take my village. You can't take our money. Little things, little decisions over and over and over and over and over again will in the end benefit the village. The village will be better off. But the opposite is also true. In our 100-person village, if we wake up and 90 people either hate the place or don't like it, well, they walk by that same water supply that's going low, and not only do they not run down and refill it, maybe they even laugh about it being low. Maybe they're even excited about it. Maybe they even grab some water and dump some more out. Good, I'm glad it's low. This village sucks. Screw this village. When you walk by the fence that's broken and the cows might get out, but you don't like the village, don't care about the village, shoot, forget about not fixing it. Maybe you grab it and just make it a little worse. Make that hole a little bigger. Let all these cows out. This village sucks anyway. I hope they starve. When you have no love for the village, you have no standards for the village, meaning you have no standards for your leadership of the village either. Okay, the new village elder was caught stealing from the treasury. Who cares? This village sucks anyway. Go get yours, pal. Steal me a little yourself. whatever you think about everything else we're about to talk about when it comes to this nation and us coming apart and being picked apart, it is important that everyone understands this. If this Patriot number doesn't just, even if it froze right here, we would be finished as a country. But if it doesn't reverse itself and get far above 38%, it's over. You cannot survive as a country having less than 40% of the nation actually love the place. You will not survive. You can't do it. Either we need to have a divorce and get away from those people or something, but a nation won't survive that way long term. And again, I need to stress, we're talking about long term trends here. I'm not trying to do some over-the-top radio thing where tomorrow we're all going to burn. That's not how it will work. Well, how it will work is you'll just have 330 million people walking by the broken fence, walking by the empty water, not caring about the leadership of our village. And eventually the village will fall because of that. It doesn't matter if you had the best person who ever lived. It doesn't matter if you had bring George Washington back to life. And you know what? Forget president. You appointed him dictator for 10 years. Go, George. George, you could do whatever you want. Now, George would do a lot of good. But George Washington himself, with all the power in the world, cannot save a country that doesn't love itself. It's not possible. This cannot be overcome. We either find a way to reverse this trend of anti-Americanism, or we will not overcome it. It will end the nation. It will. Now, we can reverse the trend. We can divorce. But one thing we definitely cannot do is continue along the same path. It doesn't work that way. Now, why do we have a patriotism problem? Maybe that's something we should dig into more before we get into the religion and the raising children portion of it. Really doing a bit of a long form thing on this tonight, but there's so much to get into, and it's just so revealing about why we are where we are. Why do we have this patriotism problem? I don't understand. I will explain that in a moment. It's after I explain this. Obviously, you're well aware that there are violent people today. There have always been violent people. We have more today than we've had. And that number increases every day as we struggle with economics and drugs and we encourage mental health disasters in this country. It is important for us to not be naive about the world in which we live and our loved ones. I know in 1980, you got sent off to college, and the most dangerous thing you encountered there was someone offered you a joint on the quad. Today, some kid may have a mental health crisis and try to shoot the place up. Today, your daughter might run into somebody who wants to do her serious harm in the parking lot. The chances of that have gone up significantly. Does your daughter have a hero arrow on her? Can she stop that violent man? Can she stop the 200-pound violent man who wants to take what she has? Probably not. But with a hero arrow, she can. But Daddy, I don't want to. Honey, it's not a gun. It's not even lethal. It shoots a pepper gel out there. It even has a siren on it if you just want to stick with that. Just keep it in your purse. Dad, it's too big. Nope, it's just the size of a wee little remote control. Fits right in even the little hot chick purses out there. Hero2020.com, code Jesse. Go now. State restrictions may apply.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, rolling right through this little poll here. We're talking about patriotism and the loss of patriotism in the country. Now, why? Why did it drop so far and so fast? 70% in 1998, 38% now. That's shocking. It's in half, basically. Half. Well, remember, Yuri Bezmenov, we've played it for you before. We're going to play it again. This is a long bit. For the first time ever, I'm not going to interrupt him. I'm going to let this go. Yuri Bezmenov laid out, and he laid it out in detail, why this is done on purpose. Understand this. If you're looking for a way to feel better, making Americans hate America was done on purpose. Your liberal Aunt Peggy, I know you think she's just a Democrat. I know she thinks she's just a Democrat. She doesn't understand. She's actually a trained communist, and she was trained on purpose. Why? Well, Yuri, former KGB, he defected over here, gave a long sit-down interview. Hey, Yuri, you were at the KGB. Why don't you explain to us why?
Ideological subversion is the slow process, which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism. The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually it's overfulfilled because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream of such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it.
Even if I show him concentration camps, he will refuse to believe it because he's a demoralized, broken person. How many people out there today, we'll use today as an example, how many people out there on the left have used today to call for gun control? Now, maybe in response to them, maybe you've done the same thing the right has always done. Maybe you've held up for them statistics of some kind. We always do this on the right. Well, if gun control works, how do you explain Chicago? Well, if gun control works, why have there never been a mass shooting at a gun show? Why do you say? And look, I've said all these things too. Why do you think it hasn't made a dent? Do you think they can't read the black and white statistics you bring up to them? They can read. They're stupid, but they can read. But why hasn't it made a dent? You're dealing with somebody who's so demoralized, so trained, has spent so long being trained in anti-Americanism that it doesn't matter what you show your liberal Aunt Peggy. She's gone. She's broken mentally. Why do we have such a tremendous patriotism drop-off in this country happening so quickly? Remember how he talks about in there, how it reached levels even we couldn't have imagined? The Soviets couldn't have imagined getting into the school system. All this stuff started back way early. Getting into the school system and eventually, because you worked your way up through the school system, owning the entire education of the United States of America. Do you understand that your child should be being taught patriotism in school, in their public school? Today we'll have arguments. Well, I don't want them to be political. Your child should be taught in school about the greatness of the country in which they live. Your child should be educated in America, baby. Your child should be 18 years old and finishing up 12 years of education that has red, white, and blue bleeding from their pores. But because we are so broken and demoralized in this country, even the right can't seem to muster that fight. All the right can do is offer up this pathetic argument I still hear. I don't want politics in the schools. Just teach them math. What? Teach them to love America in the schools. Because if you don't, well, you'll get what we have here. You have a nation where we take all of our young people and we bring them into the school system in kindergarten. And then we will teach them to hate themselves and their parents and their nation now. And what's happened is early on, the communist apparatchiks, the real hardcore commies, yes, they were a teacher here, a principal here, a professor here, but it never reached the level where you'll have a second grade class in Indianapolis. You'll have some lesbian second grade teacher putting rainbow flags on her kids and doing a march down to City Hall for gay rights. It's gotten to the point where it's so pervasive, you and I have to be a much, much more vigilant and much more aggressive when it comes to keeping this filth out of our children's eyes and ears. I told you about my kids' school. It's not even a public school. In fact, it's very much a pro-America. I know all the administrators. I know most of the teachers. It's the red, white, and blue, and God, baby. That's what it is. Even then, I had told you about having to deprogram my son. What'd you learn about today, Andrew Jackson? What'd you learn about him? Up, Trail of Tears, bad guy. Okay, nope, your history teacher sucks and he's an idiot. Let me tell you about Andrew Jackson. It's so pervasive now that it's almost inescapable. You remember that Ask Dr. Jesse question we had on Friday? Someone saw, where's the podcast? Someone give me a history podcast where they don't hate the country. As the history freak, let me tell you, good luck. Good luck finding one. This has gotten to the point where every part of our culture has been taught to hate the culture. Remember in the wake of the St. George Floyd killing and the NFL started kneeling and Drew Brees just put up an Instagram video? Hey, it's me, Drew Brees. Just want to say I'm not going to kneel for the flag because both my grandpas fought for America in World War II. That's the most basic, that's not Republican, Democrat, that's the most basic American statement ever. My grandpa's fought for that flag, bled for that flag. I like the flag. I'm staying here. 24 hours and Drew Brees was not only pulling down the video, he was going online begging people's forgiveness for ever praising the United States of America. Whipped into line by the communist scum in 24 hours. It's 38% now. What's that number look like in another 25 years? Whew. All right. Now let's dig into the more uncomfortable parts. Religion and children. This will be nice. Before we do any of that, I want you to do something free. Don't worry, this one's free. I want you to do something for free. Home title theft is something people don't care about. They don't consider. They don't understand. It's the cybercrime that's sweeping the country. You right now might already be a victim of it. You wouldn't know. You don't get a notice. You don't get any heads up until you start getting late notices in the mail from the lending institutions. Do you want to know? Do you want to know if you're already a victim? Congratulations. Home Title Lock's giving it out free right now. That's $100 value. You have to go to hometitlelock.com/Jesse, put in your home address. You'll see if your home title is still in your name. May I suggest while you're there, sign up so they can protect you? This is the cybercrime that's wiping people out. They'll evict you from your home. HomeTitleLock.com/Jesse. Go get the freebie today. HomeTitleLock.com/Jesse. All right? We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's check in really quickly on the Biden administration. You see, we did have a Chinese spy balloon. We've all forgotten about that. It traversed the United States of America. We sent a bunch of information to the Chinese, didn't shoot it down to across the whole country. That was a horrible violation of our sovereignty and everything else. Anyway, how's it going between Joe Biden and Xi? Tell us, John.
Tension with China has never been this high.
There we are. And look, we understand that. And the president has said clearly he believes it's important to keep the lines of communication with China open. He wants to have another conversation with President Xi. We'll move in that direction. But these transits are normal, particularly for this particular president.
No date for that call with no President date for Xi that yet.
No date yet. Now, anyway, what's Joe Biden focused on? In a rare moment of honesty, Joe Biden let us know his priorities.
Who are those good-looking kids back there?
Boy, Joe, keep your eye on the ball, buddy. Hide the kids. Keep the kids away from Grandpa Poopy Pants. Tends to get a little handsy out there. Now, let's offend people. We're going to get on to being made fun of on the world stage and digital blackface. We'll even do a little Trump heavy D stuff in just a little bit, but let's talk about this one. 39% of Americans place an importance on religion, down from 62% 25 years ago. Americans have stopped believing. And that's a huge problem. Now, maybe you're sitting there right now. Maybe you're an atheist listening to the sound of my voice. Maybe rolling your eyes and telling me, I don't care about this or don't care about that. Well, hear me out. I'm talking to you, atheist. I'm talking to you. I'm not your pastor or something like that. I'm not doing any of that. I'm telling you this. Religion. Religion gives your society an anchor. That's really what religion is. It's an anchor. Picture this. Picture your society. It's a bunch of people standing around. And inevitably, winds are going to blow. They are. And you don't know where to go, what to do. It is an anchored pole in the middle of the ground. All of society will come back to it. They will hold on to it in times of trouble. You will build around it. You make your laws around religion. It gives you some sort of a moral code, a moral founding, whatever it may be. But it gives you something, something that guides you. If you as a nation are losing that, losing any moral code, well, how do you ever come back to the correct position on anything? Because if there's nothing, if there's no religion, no religious reasons at all, well, why wouldn't I just take a little money from the tip jar instead of leaving some money in it? If somebody gets, some little old lady gets a tire blown out and I'm driving by her in my midlife crisis car and I see her broken down on the side of the road, she's crying, she can't change a tire, why would I pull over and help her? If there's no right and there's no wrong and there's no moral guidance at all, you don't have to believe in anything to know what I'm saying is true. No matter what, you need that. I've argued this forever when I talk to people about this. When you deal with the atheists fought forever to get the Ten Commandments out of schools because the Ten Commandments were all over the schools. Now, as I always said to people, which one of the Ten Commandments do you not want your child to follow? See, no matter what you believe, again, if you're a card-carrying atheist, which one of the 10 doesn't sound like a good plan for life for your child? Well, why do you think they removed them? We have to get rid of that moral code at all. And back to something we've talked about a ton on the show, something we always will talk about, evil. We have to acknowledge the existence of evil, not bad, not wrong, evil. We have forever treated the communists as if they're just misguided. Oh, they'll turn around once they get a paycheck. Oh, let me send my liberal aunt this article. But they haven't turned around, have they? If anything, they've gotten more and more and more aggressive, haven't they? Why do you think that is? Because you were never dealing with some person who was going to argue with good faith. You were never dealing with bad. You were never dealing with wrong. You're only dealing with evil, which is why the descent into darkness has not stopped. It has not slowed down. It's only increased. How are you supposed to deal with evil if you're not going to deal with it religiously? You have to. Which brings me to the last part. The percentage of Americans who said raising children is very important fell to 30%. Down from 59. Now, maybe you have children, maybe you don't. I don't care what life you've chosen for yourself. That doesn't matter. God has a different plan for everybody. I'm not worried about that. But as a nation, as a whole, if we are down to 30% of the nation focusing on procreating, well, then I might as well shut off the show. It doesn't matter anyway. Because you won't survive as a country if only 30% of the people are making more people. It seems kind of crude or maybe a little too on the nose to focus on things like birth rates. Because that sounds kind of ugly, right? And also it can sound kind of judgmental. Maybe these people can't have kids. Maybe she never ended up getting married. Maybe you haven't found the one yet. Maybe it sounds like you're looking. Set all that stuff aside. Forget about personal feelings. This ain't your mommy's show. It's my show. All that stuff aside, we need young people getting married to somebody of the opposite sex and making babies with them. You need that as a country. Otherwise, there's nothing left eventually. Otherwise, your society just gets old and kind of decays away. And that's where we are. And that brings me to the final part of this. And this part is probably most important. The difference between how they see it and how we see it. This is going to prompt an uncomfortable conversation, but I'm all ears if you want to argue with me. Then we'll get to emails. We'll make fun of John Kerry. We'll do all kinds of other things here on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Let me do something for you now. Have you ever heard of a closeout sale? Here's what a closeout sale is. MyPillow, for instance, this is a great example. They have all season slippers. Everyone knows they're indoor, outdoor slippers. I've told you about them 1,000 times. Oh my gosh, I love their slippers. They are incredible. Mike Lindell spent forever designing these things. There's a reason they're so comfy. The reason your knees and back don't hurt at the end of the day. But they're $149.98. That's expensive. Eventually, you will get a backlog on them and you want to get them out so you can fill up your warehouse with others. They're $25 right now. I didn't miss say that. I don't think miss saying is a word, Chris, but I didn't miss say that. $20, $25. That's saving $120 on slippers. They're $25. Go get your Christmas shopping done now. Get them and save them. Stash them. These will not last. It's a closeout sale. They will sell out. I know they are already selling out of several sizes. That's what happens when you discount something $120. MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square. Use the promo code Jesse. All right. MyPillow.com promo code Jesse or call them 800-845-0544. Let's unpack the last part of this next.
This is an iHeart podcast.